Welcome back to The Daily Poem, a podcast from Goldberry Studios. I'm Sean Johnson, and today is Tuesday, March 26th, 2024. Today's poem is by A.E. Housman, and it's called Shropshire Lad Number 2, though it's perhaps better known by its opening line, "Loveliest of Trees." This is one of Housman's most anthologized poems. A.E. Housman in his own lifetime was best known and achieved greatest renown as a professor of classics and an eminent scholar. It was well into that career that he published a collection of thematically related poems known as The Shropshire Lad, which didn't sell very well at first. But it found a small but faithful readership. And then as England and the rest of Europe began to move into the period of the World Wars, this collection that was spoken mostly in the voice of a youthful adult man just passing out of adolescence, leaving some of the innocence of youth behind, and coming to confront the reality that experience of the world brings with it. More and more English and European readers were drawn to the collection and to its themes, which include the romance of youth, unrequited love, losing friends, and even dying young on the battlefield for one's country. Some of those themes take a while to develop in the collection. This poem, which is the second, is a little more pastoral in its setting, as you'll see. So let me read the poem, offer a few more comments, and then read it one more time. This is Shropshire Lad Number 2, Loveliest of Trees. Loveliest of trees, the cherry now is hung with bloom along the bough and stands about the woodland ride, wearing white for Eastertide. Now of my 80 years and 10, 20 will not come again, and take from 70 springs a score, it only leaves me 50 more. And since to look at things in bloom, 50 springs are little room, about the woodlands I will go to see the cherry hung with snow. My favorite thing about this poem is that it both lands squarely in the middle of a few well-known poetic genres, like the Memento Mori and the Carpe Diem poem. It's a reminder to seize the day, take advantage of your life and your youth while you can, for one day you will die, maybe sooner than you think. And yet, it's also kind of inversion of those forms as well, as we'll see in a moment. It begins in the opening stanza with a description of the cherry blossoms in bloom. And if you have never lived in or been in a locale full of cherry trees that all bloom in concert in the spring, it's something to behold. A lot of people in the U.S. Make pilgrimages to Washington, D.C., as a particular place that's full of cherry blossoms. There's a cherry festival and a parade, and it's quite something, and it's worth seeing for yourself if you haven't. Places like Japan are also known for their marvelous cherry blossoms. But so apparently is Shropshire, according to the speaker here in Housman's poem. The trees, they have this sort of white bark. They have white blossoms, pink and white blossoms, like a worshiper on Eastertide. It was customary to wear white at Easter. Perhaps people listening to this poem right now are digging through their closets and preparing their white dresses and pressing their white shirts. And the color and the blossoms, but also then the pointed reference to Easter all suggest the new life of springtime, which matches maybe the new life or the relative youth still of the speaker of our poem, who is clearly put into the mind of contemplating his own age, as we see in the second stanza. Now of my 80 years and 10, 20 will not come again. He's taking this very customary number 70 as the general measure of a human life. It's not as if he's received some specific prophecy that he will die on his 70th birthday, but this is poetically speaking, generally speaking, this is what the Bible offers as the sort of benchmark for the life of an average person. And he says 20 of those years are gone already. And if you do the math, well, we got about 50 more. And this is the point where you might expect this youthful narrative voice to say, I better get on to more serious things. I better settle down and get to work and get marching back to the city. Stop wasting time on trees and flowers. But that's where this lovely reversal comes. His conclusion is instead, since to look at things in bloom, 50 springs are little room. About the woodlands, I will go to see the cherry hung with snow. So, in fact, after the math has been calculated, the realization that you only have 50 years left means you only have 50 years left to gaze upon the natural beauty of the cherry blossom. Better get down to business right now. Better seize this day and every day from now to your last day to gaze upon, to contemplate, to give thanks for, to revel in the natural beauty of the world. Those other things, the pragmatism of business and the adult world of labor and toil, they can wait, maybe forever. There is, though, and Hausmann is sort of known for this throughout this collection, there is, though, this little touch that introduces a more gravid or maybe even sinister note. And that's in the last line. He says, since I only have this little time left, 50 years, about the woodlands I will go to see the cherry hung with snow. And snow here on one level is definitely still a reference to the vibrant white color that is out of crowning each of these cherry blossoms. And snow itself is reminiscent of or suggestive of purity, the same way Eastertide in the first stanza is. But if you take the image literally for a moment, and I imagine that when your eye or your ear first receives it, that's your instinct is to take it literally. And you have to sort of read past the literal into the poetic image. But when you take it literally, and you actually imagine the cherry blossoms still on the trees in winter, when actual snow would be present or might be present, then you end on a kind of discordant note. A realization comes with that image, that impossible image, the cherry blossoms covered in snow, that maybe there is something unrealistic about the outlook of this youthful observer. We want to believe that there's a virtue in his romantic insistence upon continuing to enjoy this beauty. But the natural course of things is going to make that insistence rather ridiculous when the flowers wither and fade. Flowers come and go. Life has a kind of cycle that the cosmos insists upon. And the youthful spirit who believes that they can sort of step out of that cycle is perhaps stepping into a greater disappointment that they have yet to fully understand or anticipate. Here is the loveliest of trees one more time. Loveliest of trees, the cherry now is hung with bloom along the bough and stands about the woodland ride wearing white for Eastertide. Now of my 80 years and 10, 20 will not come again. And take from 70 springs a score, it only leaves me 50 more. And since to look at things in bloom, 50 springs are little room, about the woodlands I will go to see the cherry hung with snow. This has been the Daily Poem. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with another poem for you. To listen to past episodes or to support this show, please visit dailypoempod.substack.com. I want to take a moment to put something on your radar, especially if you aren't a regular listener to our other Goldberry Studios podcasts, and that is an exciting new art curriculum for students in classrooms, for homeschool students, for students who are, let's just say, past school age, but not yet done learning. And that is the first volume of the Lumen series, a new art curriculum from Goldberry Arts that approaches both art appreciation and art history through the elements of art. This first volume focusing on line and laying out a course of study of great masters and their use of line as well as other elements and techniques. It's beautiful, and it comes with a series of full color prints. I wish I could keep talking and do it justice, but you'll just have to take a look for yourself. You can get information about pre-ordering volume one of Lumen at goldberryarts.substack.com. In the meantime, and on behalf of our whole team at Goldberry Studios, I'm Sean Johnson. Until next time, happy reading.